Wake up! It's time for a pro-American jihad! This is Uncle Dave saying, welcome to the right-wing redneck radio rag. Yes, my fellow citizens and the legal residents, our great nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and the rights, responsibilities, and restrictions granted to and placed on individuals and all levels of government are spelled out in our Constitution. These are the reasons the United States of America rose to become the greatest nation in the history of the world, regardless of what our defamer in chief says. They are the only means by which America can regain and retain its greatness, and they are under serious attack from dastardly enemies, both foreign and domestic. The good old boys and girls here at Right Wing Redneck Radio are dedicated to the defense of those principles and our Constitution. Political correctness is like trying to pick up a turd by the clean end, and I won't do either. So if you're overly sensitive, better change the station right now. Fair and balanced? No, not on this show. The nefarious mainstream news media constantly pimps the left-wing loonies, promotes everything that is anti-American or that flies in the face of morality, and tries to destroy all that is righteous or constitutional. You'll hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth on this show, humor notwithstanding. But I frankly don't give a damn what the moronic opposition thinks. If you're a left-wing ideologue, you're still welcome to call in if you can stand a good verbal spanking, but you'll not be spewing your moldering, ranted crap on this show. All right, let's get the program started, but let's set the mood first. On the count of three, give me a nice loud jihad. Are you ready? One, two, three, jihad!
Oh, yeah. Well, this is your old Uncle Dave. Boy, do we have a lot to cover. This has been quite a week or two here that we've just gone through. First, I'm joined by one of my favorite peoples on the whole world, Sister Peggy. How you doing, Peggy?
I'm doing just great, keeping cool and just doing wonderful.
That's great. You're out there in Arizona, so you didn't get hit by a lot of that rain that hit Texas.
Nope. No?
We've
had cool weather up until the last couple of days. It's getting into the lower 90s.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're a little hotter than we are here in Florida. I see Al Gore's global warming is at it again. We're going to have a snowstorm up in the Plain States here in almost May. Good old Al Gore. What a moron he is. Anyway, boy, what has been happening this week? I don't even know where to start. Well, the UN finally reversed course and condemned its official Richard Falk for blaming the Boston attacks on American global domination and Tel Aviv. What a moron. I mean, if anything goes wrong, it's America's fault. I mean, even if George Bush isn't president anymore, it's still America's fault. I mean, did you see about that, Peg?
Yeah, I heard about that, but look at who's leading our country. He's an apologist, so evidently we're bad.
Yeah, I guess. Now, a columnist for the New York Slimes found a solution for our problems here. He said the Boston bombing indicates that we in America need to have a more radical government and change the way we do a lot of things. And to fund that, he said, what we need is a carbon tax. So the Boston bombing, the cure for that, so it doesn't happen again, is to impose a carbon tax. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, that's just seriously dumb. Now, a carbon tax, Bill Clinton wanted it. A carbon tax is what they can't push through because of global warming being proven to be pretty much a BS story to begin with. But a carbon tax would be the first step on the way to a global tax, mm-hmm. whereby the more industrial countries of the world would pay a lot into it that would wind up in the, funding the countries that aren't so industrialized. But so Thomas Friedland of the New York Slimes says that if we don't want to have any more Boston bombing attacks or something similar, what we need is a carbon tax here in America. Now, does that make any sense at all to you, Peg?
Absolutely not. But the UN's been trying to get this for quite some time. So I guess what we'll all have to do is not breathe, and then we won't have to pay the tax.
Oh, well, that carbon tax was, it's kind of sort of a follow-up on Al Gore's idea.
Yeah.
And you can buy carbon credits. See, that's the thing. So if you have any kind of an industry and you're using too much whatever energy, then you can buy a carbon tax to offset it. Now, Al Gore's plan was to pull all the permits to open an automobile factory in Asia, but not open one. Well, then he would have all these carbon credits that he isn't going to use, so he could then sell carbon credits, make himself a few billion dollars to anybody who needed them. So the whole thing was just a money-making scam for Al Gore and the loony left. But so that didn't work, so now they're going to try and go around the block and do it with a carbon tax. That's their plan. So it's a total BS and ripoff. And, the left has long wanted us to have a one-world government type situation anyway. That's just another one of their attempts to do that.
But, yeah, I forgot which state it is. It's back in my notes. But one of the eastern states, I keep thinking Maryland, or I don't remember really. But did you hear about they have now a rainwater tax?
I heard that, yes.
Owners.
If you own land and it rains, you get a tax. Because,
yep.
Well, gosh and golly, water runs off your land, goes into the sewers, and, well, you can't have that. So now you get taxed for rain. I mean, all the other taxes you could kind of sort of avoid. Sales tax, just don't buy as much, and, gasoline tax, don't drive as much, and that kind of stuff. But a rain tax? You have no control that whatsoever. So, you remember what state that was?
No, it's one of the. It's back in my notes. It's one of the eastern ones. I keep thinking Maryland, one of those lunatic states that are all upside down. Yeah, they go measure your property, and if they see a place where they're gonna charge you for where the rain falls off, like your driveway or any concrete thing you have. I mean.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's our government out to stick it to us in each and every way they possibly can. Let's see. I see we have a caller from here in Florida from the 813 area code. Hi there. Who are you? What's your name? What you got in your mind? Anything special?
Yeah, hi there. Jack Flint. I'm just calling to say that I kind of agree with this getting crazy about the kind of, penny ante, what's the word I'm looking for?
Government ripoff, I think, would suit it.
Yeah, that's a way of putting it. But it's also petty. That was the word I was looking for. Petty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of handling the major stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They spend a lot less time, worrying about whether your house is up to code and stuff like that, as opposed to, going out and taking care of some of this country's enemies, which we have a lot of.
Speaking of both petty and enemies, Harry Reid.
Okay.
God.
Yes, Harry Reid now wants to impose an internet tax. Harry, hell
no. Oh, yeah.
I have a suggestion for Harry. Instead of an internet tax, Harry, how about a masturbation tax? Hell, we could pay off the national debt from Congress and the White House alone, don't you think?
Well, there you go. I mean, he's kind of taking matters into his own hands.
Well put, my friend. Well put. While we're on the subject of absolute insanity, we're going to spend some time analyzing the Quran tonight, because the left is trying to take little excerpts from the Quran and say, well, see here, I'll see how peaceful Islam is. We're going to take the same chapters and verses that they have and a few others, but present them in their entirety. And I'm not going to tell you whether I think it's good or bad. You have a brain. I'll let you decide for yourself. I think letting the grand speak for itself is the fairest thing I could possibly do. But before we get there, Eric Holder, or as I prefer to think of him, Obama's left testicle, Eric Holder says that amnesty for illegal aliens in the United States is a civil right. Can anyone explain that to me? How about you, Peg?
I was so mad when I heard, but you know, that's where they're at. No way is it a civil right. But see, they've got an agenda, and they're pushing it on everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they can get, you know, the illegals voting rights, yeah, it's got to make the Democratic Party real hard to defeat. So I think that's a lot of the reason. I think that's 99% of the reason.
It's also going to piss off a lot of the people that got here legally and went through all the what we're supposed to do to get here legally. And then all of a sudden, these people that get here by slipping under the wire are winding up getting more rights than the people who took the time to do it the right way.
Oh, yeah. They're also getting food stamps and housing and Medicare. And our government is encouraging it. They had a meeting with the Mexican ambassador last week explaining how to instruct the wire slippers, as you put it, Jack, on how to apply for food stamps and things once they got here. So our government is not only going along with it, they are encouraging it and explaining how they should go about it and, you know, to get this food stamps and all the benefits that are flat illegal. Now, the government, it is written in our laws that illegals are not supposed to get any government subsidies. However, that laws don't seem to mean much of anything to the current administration and their minions in the mainstream media. So, yeah, that's just another thing they're doing. Now, before we get off onto the Quran, because that can be real time-consuming, but I want to go through it carefully and make sure everybody gets maybe a little understanding of what I've been trying to lay on us. Before I do that, I got my darling wife to record a song. She can't be here tonight. She's at a church function. But Peggy, I know you're going to get the song. Peggy's our resident song expert. So I know you'll get the song immediately. So I wouldn't even ask you that. I'm going to ask you who originally recorded it. Who had the So I think you'll probably get that too. Okay, here's a little two-minute song. Let me, by the way, I have to always mention this. I played it on a Gibson guitar. Mention that because Obama tried to shut down the Gibson factory and all that stuff. So this one for you, Bull Rock.
Liberals ain't liberal. They're hate-filled, but they call it love. They won't stand with our country when push comes to shove. They love the UN, one world government. Our Constitution just gets in their way. I don't understand them, but we must defeat them, because odds are that they're here to stay. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be Democrats.
William Whalen.
Don't let them be commies and liberals and fools. Make them conservative, teach them some rules. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be Democrats. They'll create a mess that'll destroy the U.S. And that is the land that I love. Liberals scream racist whenever they do not agree. Truth is their enemy, so they rarely use it, you see. They're half-witted lame brains, they're borderline insane. Still they will not refrain from wrecking our country, their intentions are plain. They're out to destroy the land of the free. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be Democrats. Don't let them be commies and liberals and fools. Make them conservative, teach them some rules. don't let your babies grow up to be Democrats. They'll create a mess that'll destroy the U.S. And that is the land that I love. They'll create a mess that'll destroy the U.S. And that is the land that I love.
All right, definitely. Excellent.
Yay.
That's a ballad. That's a ballad for the true Americans that are such a fast fading breed, almost becoming extinct. Every week we become nearer to becoming that way. And all I got to say is I really hope that sometime within the next decade or so we have, you know, a leader like they used to be back in the old days, Lincoln. You know, Grant, FDR.
Well, maybe not FDR, but...
you know what I mean. Somebody that's at least sticks behind what they say.
Yeah. Okay, let me share. Now, this is a verse in the Quran, and for those of you who have one, you can look it up.
I just want to say real quick, I love your show, but I got to go because I got to take care of a little critter here, so... But, that was a great song, and you need to definitely... make a CD out of that one and distribute it.
Well, thank you so much. Maybe send it to Waylon and Willie. I think they could probably sing it a lot better than I did. But
There you go.
Okay.
It'll be a chart climber for sure.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to sign off here. I really enjoy your show, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okie dokie. Now, this in the Quran, it's in Surah, which is Islam talk for chapter 5. And it's verse 32. Now, this is what the left, including Obama himself, has recited, though not in its entirety. I'm going to read you the whole verse. It's short. And then we're going to go ahead and read verse 33. So this is explaining that the concept of a murder or the preservation of a single soul is tantamount to the murder or preservation of an entire people. Now, it was taken... and put into the Quran, but it was taken originally out of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish Torah. So it starts off like this. This is one part they leave out. It says, for this reason, we inscribe for the children of Israel, I'll repeat that, for the children of Israel, that he who kills a soul without a soul or vandalizes on the earth, so it will be only as though he had killed all the people, and that he who gives a life, it will be as though he had given life to all the people. Indeed, our messengers came to them with proof, then surely most of them are extravagant on the earth. Now, number one, this was addressed to the Jewish people, even by Muhammad, but he stole it out of the Torah anyway. But this was addressed to the Jewish people, not to the Muslims, not to the Muslims. And so he was giving them the right in their land. Oops, does that mean that Muslims are admitting that Israel is the land of the Jews? Certainly sounds like it. So that is what Obama and the Muslim congressman and a few others have quoted. But that was addressed to the Jews. Now, the following verse was written in response to the people to whom Muhammad advised to drink his camel's urine and milk as a medicine to heal their sickness. And subsequently, they stole those camels after killing the shepherd. But this is the instruction to the Muslims. The first one was to the Jews. Here's the instruction to the Muslim. This is verse 33, Surah 5, verse 33. Surely the reward for those who war against Allah and his messenger and go around to vandalize and do mischief on the earth is only that they be killed or crucified or have their hands and feet cut off on opposite sides or they be banished from the earth. This is their disgrace in this world, and in the hereafter they will have great torment. So now, creating mischief on the earth, well, that could be preaching any doctrine that isn't Islam. It could be a Muslim who converted to another faith. So if you do any of those things, Muslims are instructed. Now, I wonder why Obama didn't read this verse, but he didn't. But the first verse, the verse 32, that's the instruction for the Jews. For the Muslims, if you do mischief on earth or oppose Allah in any way or his messenger, then you are to be killed or crucified or have your hands and feet cut off on opposite sides of your body. Gosh, that doesn't sound real peaceful, does it? What do you think, Peg?
Oh, just so peaceful. I'm so sick of hearing that it's a peaceful religion. And even O. Bush said it was, which I saw a clip on that. That just, they do not know what they're talking about.
No, they don't. And even Fox News, which comes a lot closer than MSNBC or most of the others, but even they, when that Muslim congressman read part of the first verse, verse 32 in Surah 5, about, you know, if you kill take a life, it's like you took the life of an entire population, and if you save a life, it's like you save the life of an entire population. Even Fox didn't call him on it. And what this makes reference to in the Jewish Torah is Adam. Adam was the only one on earth at one point in time. So as you killed Adam, then bingo, no more people on earth, and you know, no propagation if you have no one to propagate. So that's what it refers to in the Torah. But Islam, Obama, and various Islam uplifters and the Muslim congressmen have quoted that to as proof that Islam is a peaceful religion. Those instructions weren't for Muslims, they were for Jews. The Muslim instructions were, if you make mischief against Allah, you should be killed, crucified, or have body parts cut off. So that's the part that they didn't read. But now you know via radio. So I wanted to pass that along to everybody. So next time you hear someone quote that verse to you, that was instructions to the Jews. And just ask him, well, okay, it was verse 32. Gosh, I wonder what verse 33 says. And see if you can't get them to go on with it. Because doubtlessly they will say, well, I have that one memorized. Read it to him. And you all should get a Quran and be a little wary of buying the Quran, just going to a bookstore. Because a lot of those, a lot of these verses have been taken out of them. And here's an interesting thing about the Quran. Number one, in the first verse of Surah 2, people are instructed, Muslims are instructed, to believe the Bible, the Jewish Bible, as well as the Quran. So this kind of sort of proves the Bible was correct at that time. It says, and I quote, "There is no doubt in it, a guidance to the fearer, those who believe in the unseen and perform the prayer, and out of what we provide them, they spend, and those who believe that it has been sent to you, and in that has been sent down before you, and who have confidence in the hereafter." So Muslims are instructed to believe the Bible and the Quran. Well, is that possible? Let's examine it, shall we? Now, I'm sure everybody is familiar with the Ten Commandments in the Bible. It says, for one, that thou shalt not kill. And yet, we just read in 5:33 that anyone who makes mischief against Allah, tries to preach a different gospel, whatever, should be killed, crucified, have their hands and feet cut off, whatever. So, I don't see how you could accept both. And what's another Ten Commandment? Well, how about thou shalt not commit adultery? That is, what is that, commandment number six or seven. Well, Muslims are instructed when they attack another country or group of people, whatever, to kill the men and rape their wives and daughters. Well, that doesn't sound exactly like the two could go hand in glove. Also, the Bible says, you know, thou shalt not steal. Well, the Quran not only says that you should, it tells you how to divide the spoils. One-fifth, 20%, goes to Allah. Since Allah didn't come around to collect, that meant Muhammad. So Muhammad got 20% of everything his caravan raiders and warriors went out and killed and stole. And so I don't quite know how you could accept the teachings of the Bible and the teachings of the Quran at the same time. What do you think, Peg?
No, that's absolutely pretty much impossible. I just can't see it. But I was, when you were talking about Muslims, did you happen to see what Mr. O said in his speech about himself at the dinner the other night?
No, I saw teeny bit of it, and that's about all I could take.
He said, and I saw it on the clip, plus other people had written about it. He said, you know, the whole thing, all he did was joke around, and he says, I'm not the strapping young Muslim socialist that I used to be. You know, like a joke. That's the first time I ever heard him say he was a Muslim.
Hey, good point. Freudian slip. Let me point out one other thing in the Quran, because the Quran is full of contradictions. However, in Surah 4, verse 82, it says, do they not consider the Quran, if it was not from Allah, there would have been many inconsistencies, really. But in Surah 2, verse 108, it says, whatever we abrogate in the Quran, that means change, are caused to be forgotten, we bring a better verse than it, or one like it. Do you not know that Allah has might over many things? So, in the fourth chapter, it says that the Quran is perfect and that there's not one word, not one punctuation mark in the Quran will be changed because the word of Allah is perfect. But if you go back, it says, well, we're changing a bunch of crap here because, well, Allah either screwed up in the first place or changed his mind. So I think I would consider that a pretty major inconsistency, wouldn't you, Peggy?
Oh, yeah. It's all such a false, quote-unquote, religion that it's really politics. It's a tyranny is all that I've ever got out of this Quran.
Well, I think you're right. I think that Islam is a political movement masquerading as a religion. And I had a little wee sip there. When I get into this, I need something to keep my blood pressure from going over the top. And I have a lovely glass of Dewars on the Rocks here beside me. Encourage anyone else to do similar if you're so inclined. But it was pointed out by a friend of mine yesterday, Usama Dakdak, who was born in Egypt, schooled in a Muslim school in Egypt, has the Quran basically memorized cover to cover. He's written his own interpretation of it, which is wonderful, by the way, because he didn't try to hide what it really says. He, right out, flat out, here you go, here's what it really says. And then he explains a couple of things throughout, so it makes very good reading. But he was explaining the tremendous recruiting effort that's going on here in the United States to bring people into Islam. And a lot of the recruiting takes place in our penal system, in our prisons and penitentiaries and jails. Well, who is in prison? I don't know, criminals maybe? So we have criminals in prison, and they do a lot of recruiting among the black inmates. And so you have a black criminal, and I absolutely do not want to imply that all blacks are criminals. That's the furthest thing from the truth. But some are. Some whites are criminals. Some Asians are criminals. Some Hispanics are criminals. Now that I've covered my ass there, they recruit a lot among the black inmates in prisons because why? Well, number one, they're already a criminal. Number two, they have a pretty good reason to hate the white judge and the white lawyer and the white jury and whatever. So groups like the Black Panthers, the new Black Panthers, excuse me, who pretty much hate whites. I mean, didn't they say, you know, kill whitey, kill their babies, kill all white people because the babies will just grow up to be big white people, so kill them all their babies. So the Black Panthers are hate-filled and advocate murdering white people. And Islam just justifies it. Says, you know, if they're not a Muslim, kill them. It says so in the Quran. What a lot of our black brothers and sisters fail to realize is that black in Islam language, in you know, Arabic, translates to mean slave. So Islam is more racist than anybody else. And, you know, the thing that our mass news media and our politicians, whatever, they have, they keep preaching at us is a radical Islam and radicalized and blah, blah, blah. No. If you are an Islamist, that means that you follow the Quran. There's an awful lot of good Muslims out there, but they're not good Islamists. And if you are a good Islamist, then you're not a good person. End of story. Because if you follow the Quran, then it tells you to commit violent acts. So you cannot basically be both. Here's a little a little lesson from the seventh chapter. It says, "And we did not send a prophet to any village except we seized its people and adversely harmed them." Well, the peaceful religion of Islam? I don't think so. So Islam is a political movement masquerading as a religion. It is stone cold violent. And for all of, if we have any females out there who are, I'm trying to think of a polite word for nuts. This is just a left leaning. Here's how the Quran instructs men to treat you. This is from the second surah, chapter 2, in other words, and it is verse 223. And it says, "You women are a field." Oh, your women, he's talking to men. "Your women are a field to you. So enter your field as you please and do good for yourselves." In other words, it just justified marital rape. It says women are nothing but a field to be plowed by their husbands at his will, whether they like it or not. So if we have any females out there who are considering converging to Islam, you might want to think twice about that. So not exactly something that I think most women would be in favor of. What do you think, Peg?
Yeah, that just brought to mind that older brother bomber in Boston. He got arrested or something for spousal abuse. He beat his wife up. And she was an American that converted to Islam. So that just shows, I mean, that's normal for him to be doing that.
Oh, yeah. And you remember in New Jersey, this was a Muslim couple. It was an arranged marriage. I think she was like 19 and he was, I don't know, 40. And he had a habit of raping her whenever he felt like it. And she applied for a no trespass warrant, you know, leave her alone, a peace bond. And he continued to rape her. Anyway, he wound up in court. And a New Jersey judge, based on the Quran, he said, "Well, the guy's not deliberately doing anything wrong. He's just doing what his religion taught him to do." So he failed. He refused to grant her a peace bond to keep him away from her, and pretty much allowed him to continue doing what he was doing. It was overturned by a higher court. But when our judges look at the Quran and say, "Well, what the hell? It's part of Sharia law, so yeah, I guess it's okay. Rape away. This, I can't really think of a better illustration to say we need American laws in American courts. What do you think about that, Peg?
Absolutely, and there's a lot of our courts that are following Sharia law, and I think one of the things they justify it with is religious freedom, but yet they have no business using our court systems and going against our laws, but that's my observation.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You recall several months ago we had an Islamic woman call in and debate with us, and she had run for Congress in Washington State and come to Florida and helped defeat, and sadly they did, but I think we're going to push it through this time, but helped defeat the law about no law can be used in our courts except American laws. That would include Sharia, English law, French law, Italian law, Spanish law, any law. I mean, we have our own. We're going to stick to those. And but she was saying that, well, you know, if you started a business in Europe or in the Middle East and your business rules didn't comply with American laws, that wouldn't be fair, would it? And I told her, well, sure I would. I mean, I can't go to Saudi Arabia and open a beer and wine bar and serve barbecued pork chops, can I? So, but that's just the way they feel about it. And once again, as far as it being a religion of peace, this is right out of the Quran, Surah 4, chapter 4, verse 95. Those believers who stay at home, other than those who are substantially injured, can't leave home, and are not equal to those to perform jihad for the sake of Allah with their money and their lives. Allah favors those who perform jihad with their money and their lives above those who stay to a higher degree. Allah promises each of them the goods that they steal, in other words. And Allah favors those who perform jihad above those who stay and will give them a great wage in the hereafter. Can you interpret that any other way than going to war? I mean, how can you give up your life in the cause of Allah unless you get into a fight, unless you're waging war, unless you're trying to kill people? Can you think of a way, Peggy?
Nope.
So, it says...
That's why they strap on those suicide vests.
Oh, yeah. It says in the Quran that Allah favors those who wage war. Jihad is holy war. I don't care if somebody tells you different. That's what it is. While we're touching on jihad, though, there are also some... there's a political jihad where when you are not strong, the Quran instructs you to be nice and be sweet and lie. And when you are strong, to be brutal and to kill people. So here's... To back up what I just said, I want to quote this. It's out of chapter 47, verse 35. So, do not be weak, and do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. Allah is with you. So, when you have the upper hand, when you're stronger than your enemy, the Quran instructs you, do not be weak, and do not call for peace. So, oh, you only do that when you don't have the might to kill people and to win that way. So it's a religion of war. It's not a religion. It's a philosophy of war. And one more, then we'll stop with the Quran for a minute. This is out of chapter 9, verse 123. O you who have believed, engage in war against the infidels who are near you, and let them find you in it with harshness. And know that Allah is with you. Well, now, remember earlier, we read out of the Quran that Muslims are also supposed to believe the Bible. I don't think the two are compatible, do you, Peggy?
No, not absolutely not.
So, I mean, but why our leaders... I hate to use the word leaders. Why the people in elected office? Let me put it that way, because I ain't leading me anywhere. But why these people are afraid to come out and call a spade, and I don't mean that racially, folks, but, call it the way it is. If it walks like a duck, yada, yada. I mean, I am reading verbatim out of the Quran. I'm not making this stuff up, and I've given you all chapter and verse, so... You know, if you doubt anything that I have read to you, look it up. I mean, I would. If somebody read me something, I went, boy, that didn't sound right. I'd check it to see if it was right or not. And but I have read, verbatim, chapter and verse. So let's see here. Chapter 5. I said I was going to quit. I can't just yet. No, we already read that one. Surah 9, verse 5. It says, so seek out the infidels where you can find them. Lay in wait for them and kill them. Okay. Once again, the religion of peace, as our elected officials would have us believe, and the news media, of course, jumps on the bandwagon. So, okay, Peg, let me throw the ball to you. What you got on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking that when you were quoting all that, that's why, in my estimation, is why we're having so much death to our soldiers from all these quote-unquote allies, because that is what they believe, and so they come on as our soldier's friend and then kill them.
Mm-hmm. And they believe that that they are following the instructions in the Quran. Unless we understand this, but you know, the FBI has been their training manual has been gutted. There's nothing in there now about Islamic terrorists, about terrorists. Period. There's no war on terror. There's no such thing as jihadists. If we're not even teaching our people what to expect, how in the world are they supposed to defend themselves and us? And isn't that their main function? No, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And somebody brought something up about these two brothers, terrorists that bombed the marathon. I think I don't usually watch her, Judge Jeanine, but I watched her last night, and oh my God, she was on fire. She was on fire. But she says it doesn't make any sense to her that supposedly they came over here for asylum, but yet they go back to the country that they were getting asylum from.
Exactly. I mean, you know, if you fled a country because you feared for your life, and then you go back for 6 months, I mean, it's not like they snuck in on Mom's birthday. You went back for 6 months. And Mom is on a terrorist watch list anyway.
She really slammed her.
Oh, yeah. And Russia has now said, hey, we've got a recording of some phone calls between terrorist number one and Mama, in which he discusses jihad with her. So, but ours, oh, no, that couldn't be. Yes, it could be, you morons. And I am still in a rage about Fort Hood and about Benghazi. I mean, when is this going to come out? What do you think, Peggy? Were you ever going to get to the bottom of this?
I doubt it. Not while we got all these people. You know what our whole problem is? I watched The Project. I had seen it a year ago. I watched it again this morning. And our problem is we've got the Muslim Brotherhood in every place in our Washington government. And that's what's going on. And, you know, their hands are tied.
Absolutely. And we had Anthony Weiner's wife, Aberdeen, who was our Secretary of State, Hillary. It's hard to even say the word Clinton. But she was the number one assistant to Hillary. So pretty much everything that Hillary knew, the Muslim Brotherhood knew.
And her mother and father, who are over, in Saudi Arabia, big-time Muslim Brotherhood over there.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of, you remember Obama drew a red line in the sand for Syria? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just, the red line being if you use chemical weapons, there will be consequences. Well, now we find out what those consequences are. He will say, don't do that again. And if they do, he'll say, I told you, don't do that again. And that's pretty much all you can expect from Obama. And I'll tell you who is paying incredibly close attention to this. That would be Iran. Because, remember, we also gave them a red line in the sand, you know, as far as developing nuclear weapons. And if they see that red line in the sand is no more red than John Kerry's purple hearts were purple, they're going to laugh themselves silly and go ahead and do whatever they want to do, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's just, we're the big laughing stock of the world now. We used to be a strong country, and all we are turning into a bunch of wimps. And I'm like you with Fort Hood. Every time I see anything about that, it just angers me to the end. Because from what I remember, San Diego FBI knew about old Bubba Face there, and he tried to warn everybody about him. And the military, and I think it was Casey said, the worst thing in the world with our military is to not have diversity or something along them lines. I wanted to throw something through my computer when I heard him say that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was, I believe, the the head honcho in Turkey, who instructed the Turk Muslims when they migrate to other lands not to assimilate into the culture there. He said, you must maintain your culture. Do not adapt the culture of the infidels. Don't mix with them. Don't be friends with them. Don't, you know, stay to yourselves. And so they're instructed that from their leaders and from the Quran that tells them to you know, commit war, acts of war, and they will be greatly rewarded. And so, I mean, that's just, take, for example, Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know which is more dangerous, going over Niagara Falls in a barrel or walking through Dearborn at 5 o'clock on a Friday with a Byzantine cross around your neck. I think either one could result in your untimely demise, shall we say. So,
well, anyway. You know, David, another thing that's never brought up, but I had heard good sources talking about it last year and over the last couple of years, and I had seen videos about it. We have training camps right here in the United States for jihadists.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Why doesn't anybody ever say, well, that could be a reason why we got American terrorists?
I think you're absolutely right. A couple of, I have to bring this up. You know, that the Islamists and the Quran, whatever, says how the Quran is perfect and no word from Allah has ever been changed. Where we already read, I just read you earlier, where it says, well, if we change it, it's because we thought of a better one. Now, Aisha was Muhammad's first wife, or the one he married when she was 6 years old. Didn't consummate the marriage till she was 9, so he said. But even that, I think, is disgusting times about 10. But Aisha made a few comments about gee, isn't it convenient how how whenever you want something, Muhammad, Allah comes down with a new decree and lets you do it. Muhammad had an adopted son, and he who had grown up, and he went to visit him, and his adopted son had a really, I guess in today's vernacular, hot wife. And Obama went, well now. his adopted son realized that Muhammad had the hots for his wife. So, being an obedient whatever, he divorces her. And Muhammad marries her. Well, this was illegal, according to Sharia at the time. You can't marry the divorced wife of your son. So then, Allah gives Muhammad a new message that says, Muhammad, adoption is illegal, so that he was never your stepson, so it's okay that you have married his wife and are having your way with her at your leisure. But then, Aisha was an interesting person. She had lots to say about it. Also, when she walked in on Muhammad doing the horizontal bop with his slave girl, she found that somewhat offensive. And then Muhammad said, well, I won't do it anymore, I promise. And then he got another message, special delivery, from Allah that said, no. Your slave girls are for your amusement and satisfaction. So, you know, don't say it's wrong to do what I say is right. So go ahead and do the hoochie-coochie with your slave girl. So, and again, Aisha said, isn't that amazing how Allah just seems to show up whenever you need him? Now, one of the most interesting things that Aisha ever said, I have to explain this. This is hard to do with a straight face. When Muhammad croaked, and not nearly soon enough, but when Muhammad croaked and they were at the services or whatever, Aisha said afterwards, I had it written down on a piece of paper. Now, Muhammad could not read or write, so everything was passed down verbally from him. But she said, I had it written down on a piece of paper about stoning for adultery and what have you, and breastfeeding. Now, the breastfeeding that she was talking about was that, now, you know, it's Sharia that Muslim women are not supposed to be, you know, with a man other than a relative. They're not, you know, you can't have a male friend or a male teacher or whatever else. That's not your relative. So they came up with this thing. Well, okay, if a woman breastfeeds a man 10 times, then he will look at her, upon her, as though she were his mother, and he won't be tempted to do the horizontal bop with her or get out of line in any way. So that was supposedly written down on a piece of paper about the stoning and breastfeeding various strange men so they would think you were their mother. And she said, but then a tame sheep came in and ate the paper while we were at the services. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, you really can't make this kind of stuff up. And has you heard that, Peg?
No, I hadn't heard that one. Nope.
Oh. That's... I don't know.
You know, these Muslims are really affecting our schools. And I read a week or so ago where at one, I think it was a public school or somewhere, or a community center, the girls were taking swimming lessons, and one of the dads wanted to go in and watch, and he was kicked out because of the Muslim girls that were swimming. They couldn't be seen. Isn't that getting ridiculous?
Yep. Well, now, Christmas before last, we went on vacation up in on the Grand Strand up in Carolina. Stayed at a marvelous hotel, very, very old hotel, big high-rise right on the beach. And in the pool area, it was all steam-bent wood. I mean, it was just gorgeous. You could just imagine that, I don't know, Al Capone and his guys had been there or whatever. It was that, you know, that old. But when we got there, the lobby was absolutely full of Muslims. I'm like, whoa. And this was Christmas, mind you. I don't know what in the world is going on. So I asked one of the hotel staff, what's up, you know? And they said, I don't know, the same thing happened last year. And she said, we know what floor they're staying on. There's trash everywhere. So, and I swear that's what they told me. I didn't go verify it. But when I went to the pool, the Muslim men and boys were in the pool just swimming and throwing a ball back and forth, having a big old time. And about 4 Muslim women in full attire, full head to toe, whatever those things are. These weren't actually burkas, because you could see their faces. Their faces did show. But the rest of them was covered. And they were standing there. Finally, they waded into the water up about waist deep and just stood there. That's all they were allowed to do. And I said, my God. You know, if they're treated like this out in public, what in the world are they treated like at home?
Those pools, you can't wear that stuff into them.
No, it's, I don't know.
I'm surprised they let them do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't swim or anything. They just waded in up to about the family jewels and stood there. And I thought, you know, if I were these women, I'd pee in the pool. So I made it a point not to swim anywhere near them.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
No, but they were just so, third-class citizens. You know, you can wade in and stand there, but you can't swim and you can't get wet and you can't. I mean, please. Years ago, when I was selling timeshare, one of the resorts for which I worked, timeshared out private homes, and each private home had its own private swimming pool. And I remember I was touring a couple from Yemen. And when we took a tour of the home, he looked, he said, my wife would be allowed to swim there. He said, no, she could not swim in the public pool. But she could swim here because it would be just me and her here. And I said, really? You wouldn't let her swim in the public pool, huh? So women are, well, it says that a woman is worth half a man in Islam, that it takes 2 women to equal the testimony of 1 man in court. You know, that a woman can inherit half of what her brother can, you know, from the papa. They're worth half a person. So I cannot for the life of me understand why a woman would convert to Islam. You have any thoughts on that, Peggy?
I have. They must be insane because women are treated worse than the slaves were here. It's just disgusting. And I also heard that some believe that the women will never even make it to heaven. They're so low class. They'll go to hell or something. So I heard that from somebody.
Well, one thing that the Quran does teach is that if you are martyred in a jihad, that you have the right to bring to heaven whom you want and ban whom you want. So if a Muslim man is killed in a jihad, blows himself up, whatever, then when he gets to heaven, he can say, you know what, I didn't like her very much anyway. Don't bring her up. You know, send her below. Same thing with his brother, you know, who, assuming he wasn't also killed in a jihad, but someone who dies in a holy war has the right to take to heaven with him those on earth that he chooses and ban those whom he chooses. So it's a very strange religion, and it's interesting, as we mentioned several minutes ago, that in the beginning of the Quran it also says that Muslims are to believe the Bible. I just don't know how it's possible to do both. What do you think, Peg?
Absolutely not. It's such a contradictory statement. I think they just use that as a screen to say, see how good we are?
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. And like Reagan said about the Democrats, is that it's not that they're stupid, it's just that they know so many things that are wrong. Well, if you read the Quran, and I suggest everybody do, they have some serious faux pas in there. Muhammad, as I said, took a lot of the things from the various moon god cultures and what have you around there, but he also took a lot out of the Jewish Torah. But he got a lot of it wrong. And according to the Quran, Jesus' mother was Miriam. He just, he got confused between the two. Well, Miriam was a sibling of Moses, thousands of years apart from Mary. And according to the Quran, she gave birth to Jesus under a fig tree, and the branches would blow down when she was hungry, and a well opened up at her feet and what have you. And when she went back to the village, now there's no Joseph involved here at all. When she went back to the village, she was struck dumb. So baby Jesus, at age, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, whatever, began talking and explained everything to the village.
Oh, okay.
You can't make this stuff up. It's just, and remember that when Muhammad started, he started, 600 years after Jesus was born. So Christianity was already around, and so he took a lot of it from there as well. But, we are just about run out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining me here on air and in the chat. I had a pretty busy chat room tonight, so thank you all very much. I do appreciate it. And let's do it again next Sunday. What do you say, Peg?
Absolutely.
Okie dokie then.
Well, my fellow American patriots, the hot licks on that piano means it's time for us to boogie. We'd like to thank our callers for joining in and being part of the show here on the Right Wing Redneck Radio Rag, and we encourage y'all to do it again next week. Oh, and tell your friends and neighbors about our show, too. In fact, if you know any anti-American, anti-constitutional, left-wing, liberal, socialist, communist, anti-Judeo-Christian, misguided, lame-brain morons, tell them to listen in, too. Accurate information and the facts get the left-wing hooligans and their fifth columnist pals in the media steaming like fresh cow patties in a snowbank, because their lies can't hold up under the light of truth. So, if you know any dumbass lefties, bring them on board. Hell, we just might convert a few of them and turn them into good, loyal Americans. So until next week, this is Uncle Dave saying, keep your eyes and ears open, your powder dry, and don't forget, we are in the middle of a pro-American jihad!
Chat room, and hope we will do it again next Sunday, okay?
All right.
Okie dokie.
Well, good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, Peggy. Thank you.
Huh.
Bye-bye.